house is usually one of the biggest purchases you can make. Add the financial paperwork of getting a mortgage, and it gets complicated quickly. So it's really important to make sure you're ready for this leap before you sign the papers. When we were hunting for our house, we did some legwork, but it was well worth it. We bought a house a couple months ago, and we're really happy with what we got. Are you thinking about buying a house too? Then please save this episode. John White is on the show to share his stories about buying two homes. In this episode, we'll get into the real estate and financial myths that influenced him to buy his place, his biggest mistake when he bought his first house, and how they found a house now that is a blessing and not a burden. I hope you enjoy the show. Before he became a financial coach, John White was in many ways like his clients. He was enjoying life. Finances were all right as he wasn't spending extravagantly. As years passed, some of his friends decided to move forward on their American dream, and that included buying a home. Even though he had a background in accounting, John wasn't immune to house fever.
Well, two things. I had a buddy who had bought a condo too, one of my college friends. And he said, oh, it's a great deal and good for him. And I think I'd actually visited him and was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. I could have my own place. So that kind of got the ball started. The other was when I was renting, I had a roommate and he had gotten married or was in the process of getting married. I bought the condo not because I was in a good financial position to do so. I didn't buy the condo because I knew what I was doing necessarily. I did it because people told me renting was throwing my money away and that the way to build equity is to buy a house as soon as possible. Real estate is always a good investment. And so I just listened to what other people were saying. And in that time period, 2006, the real estate market was hot and I just got housing fever.
We heard some of the same things when we were house hunting, especially that rent is throwing money away. Buying a house isn't bad, but you really have to look at the costs. Besides the obvious, there are expenses that homeowners may have to deal with that renters don't. Your own maintenance, for one thing. But depending on where you live, you may also find yourself buying property that is a part of a home association, which is something John had to deal with firsthand.
When I bought the condo and was looking at over, they mentioned that the condo association was suing the original builders of the condos for some faulty roofs. And so there was an extra homeowners association dues associated with that. And I asked around and they said, oh, well, the ruling's going to be coming soon. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. Well, then here's what happens. About a year into the condo, we settle with the builder. However, the settlement did not cover all the repairs to the chimneys that for some of the condos that were faulty. So the homeowners association asked us for $5,500 over the course of 2 years. So that was a real opening, eye-opening thing to me. It was like, okay, wow, yeah. When things break, I'm responsible for it.
So before you buy a place that's a part of a home association, know the bylaws. Check with the residents, see if they're happy, and ask about the fees over the last few years. Have they been increasing? Why? See what the home association's responsibilities are and which would be yours. As financially painful as that bill was, John doesn't consider it his biggest mistake.
The biggest mistake I made, and this is going to be a broad statement, was that I just rushed the process. I got house fever. And when you get house fever, you just go with it. And like I said, I didn't put anything down the house. The real estate agent I went with was the first person who contacted me back. I didn't ask them if they had experience selling condo or buying condos or in this price range or what they knew about the area. Didn't know what my mortgage payment would be, know how much I could afford. If believe it or not, I just told the banker, okay, this is my income. And they told me, okay, you can probably afford a house in this range. And I went with it. And so I basically rushed the process.
To make matters worse was timing. John bought his condo in 2006 before the real estate bubble burst. When it did, he found himself about $20,000 underwater on his home. While he did thankfully have some savings, his financial situation still weighed on him.
The good news is of when I did make this purchase, I remember I got my first statement in the mail and I started to look for my packet that I got in a closing, and I looked at my 30-year amortization schedule, and I had never looked at that thing before, and I saw how much of my payment was going to interest compared to principal. And the very few was going to principal. And I was like, wow, this is insane. Why didn't I consider any of these costs? And so I bought in 2006 and 2007, 2008. That's when the housing market, the bubble burst, so to speak. And I was thousands upon thousands of dollars underwater. And just looking at that amortization schedule and seeing, okay, it's going to take me like 6 or 7 years if I just make the minimum payment that I'm supposed to get right side up. And having no idea what would happen if I had to move, if I lost my job, if I wanted to move, if I wanted to do something different, I was kind of stuck with this mm-hmm. this really financial burden. And that was just a wake-up call for me to, okay, get with it. So there was a lot of financial stress. I know a lot of people during that time had to lose their house. They got foreclosed on, missed payments, lost jobs. I didn't have any of that, but the risk was still there and it was hanging over me. And for a few years there, it was not fun to look at that deficit each and every month. And a lot of times it was growing no matter what I was doing.
Fast forward a few years, John got married. He and his wife used the principles and baby steps of Dave Ramsey to build their finances together. Eventually, they became parents, and that's when they began to consider selling the condo and getting another house.
And then a couple years later, we had our first son. And then that winter, we found out we were pregnant with our second child. And at that time, the 900-foot, two-bedroom, square-foot condo just did not fit our family's needs. And we had put ourselves, thankfully, into a financial position to do so. So we talked about it. We prayed about it. We live in the Central Ohio area in Columbus, Ohio. And so there's a lot of areas to live. And we wanted to move closer to family. So basically, we wanted to move on the other side of the town. And so we talked about, okay, here's our situation. Here's how much we owe on our mortgage currently. Here's how much approximately we could sell our condo for. Here's how much we would net approximately. And obviously, we didn't know because we didn't know exactly how much we would sell our condo for. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, we did have some equity because we had been really serious about paying it down. If we had done the normal thing and paid a 30-year mortgage off, like a 30-year mortgage, we would not have been in that position. So it took us a lot of time and effort of our money to get to a point where we did have some positive equity. And just having that scar from that first experience, I was really scarred. So I wanted to be really conservative and take control of the process instead of being reactive to the process.
Seeing where things went wrong the first time, John was determined not to let the same thing happen with their next house. He and his wife started with running the numbers themselves so they could understand and be confident with what they could afford.
And so we determined, okay, if we net this much from the sale of our condo and we put it all towards our down payment and then determine, okay, here's what current interest rates were. We also were determined to get a 15 or 20-year mortgage because we wanted to get our house paid off looking into the future. So look, we took that information. Okay, here's what our payment could be that could fit in our budget. Here's our down payment. This is what we can afford.
Knowing their numbers proved to be beneficial as they were tempted with one house during their search.
The big test for us was our condo had sold or was in contract and we hadn't found a house yet. So we were looking at like a month of basically being homeless, not really being homeless, but we'd have to live with our in-laws, but we were looking at, we don't have a house. And so mm-hmm. we were scrambling and we found a house that was right on the edge of our budget. And of course, right. And we looked at it and we really liked the house. The thing is, it was a foreclosed house and it was a blind auction. And so you put in the bid, you don't know who's bidding against you, what they're bidding against. And that was a real test. We're like, okay, we said this is how much we can afford. This is right at the limit. Are we going to stick to our budget? Are we going to try to break our budget or go a little over our budget and hope it works out? And I'm proud to say we stayed in our budget. We did the maximum that we could within our budget. Fortunately, though, we got outbid. Someone had bid quite a few $1,000s more than us, and so we lost the house.
Their self-control paid off when they found a house that suited their family and was within their budget so that they could enjoy it together instead of stressing out.
But looking back on it, I'm still proud of us that we went through that and we didn't waver on our budget, and we ended up with the house that we have now, and it's been a financial blessing, and we're still here, and we're not, you know, living in a house that we hate. We have a nice house that fits our needs. It was fun and exciting and scary all at the same time, but I'll tell you, it was worth it at the end. Now that I'm 2.5 years into this, our family's two and a half years into this house that we did end up buying. And it's not a perfect house, but it's a house that fits our budget, and we're able to do the other things that we want to with money, such as give, invest, save, and pay cash for things. And it's been a really good thing for our marriage to not have that financial stress that a house can bring.
Special thanks to John for sharing the highs and lows of buying a house. If you want to find out more about him and his book, A Tale of Two Houses, please go to jwfinancialcoaching.com/couplemoney. He has some wonderful bonuses for listeners. John does a great job going through the process of selling their condo and buying the new place. He also gets into the details and the numbers so you can get an idea of what to expect when you purchase your home. I'll have the link up in the show notes, along with more resources to help make buying a house a lot less stressful. Couple Money Podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. Every tweet, Facebook like, and pin you make gets the word out. Thank you so much for your support. And I just want to quickly apologize. I had mixed up the episode preview last week. So next episode, we are going to look into protecting your finances for when something happens so your family is taken care of. So if you don't want to miss that episode, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. It's free and easy. We're on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more. You can also grab the feed off our site so you can listen to the show from whatever podcast service app you prefer. And if you enjoy the podcast and find it helpful, could you please leave a review? It takes about a minute, but it's a huge help. I really appreciate it. Thank you again for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.